Thank you for listening to Christian Challenge at K-State's podcast. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry, follow us on Instagram or visit our website. Hope you enjoy this episode.
All right, I'm Melody, and we are back with the Women's Christian Challenge podcast. So to on this podcast, we're going to talk to Gail and Stacy. I think we're going to start primarily with Gail, because Gail, a lot of these questions kind of came, it seems like, directly from what you shared on the night of the panel. Okay, so yeah. Some things about marriage and parenting and that sort of thing, and just some of the struggles that you had in especially early days of parenting. Yes. So let's just jump in. Okay, I love this first question. Gail, how did you know that your husband was the person you wanted to spend the rest of your life with?
Yeah, I'm like, this could be an hour-long answer, or it could be super brief. So I'm struggling to know how much to share.
We can do one whole podcast on the Robbie and Gail story.
I just love my husband. I think starting out, just a little brief history, I'd never dated before Robbie. He had become like one of my best friends through college. We did a lot in groups together. And so I was able to observe him for years before I ever dated him. I was able to observe him ministering to people with his family. I got to know his family really well before we dated. I was able to I just watched him and noticed him. And I wasn't even thinking about him as a potential spouse, really, for a long time. But I did notice, like, we tended to gravitate towards each other. We had common interests. We just loved talking to each other. So I would say throughout our friendship, my heart was aligning more and more with him without me even quite realizing it. We did go on a summer missions trip together. And I was, during that time was when kind of my heart started being more attracted. Like, I was attracted. Probably there were moments before that, but I remember just obvious, like, a moment thinking, this is really attractive. And it was a very clear day when he was fasting and praying for a dear friend of his who ended up coming to Christ, and just watching him, like, battle for this person's soul before the Lord and with our, I mean, it was so attractive to me. And that I kind of admitted to myself on that trip, like, I am growing feelings for this man. Later, when I got home and before we were back together in the semester, I remember praying through, like, I had a list. I don't know if this is, I would suggest this or not, but I had a list of qualities that I was praying for in a future spouse. And as I'm praying through this, it was like light bulb. Like, this is the, I mean, it felt like, I mean, I had fallen in love with him before I went on a date with him. And I knew I would marry him. I mean, that I would be happy to marry him. So as far as the things about, okay, one thing. So we dated for a year. We ended up breaking up for multiple reasons we won't talk about right now. But after almost five months of not being broken up, Robbie was kind of wanting to get back together with me. But he had some, like, commitment issues. He was young. He didn't know what he wanted in life. And his mentor, Bob, challenged him. He said, Robbie, you know Gail. You know her family. You know her heart. I do not think that, because of Robbie and his, where he was at, he's like, I don't want you to pursue her again unless you have a ring for her finger. And for Robbie, that's what he needed. He just needed to be like, okay, I'm in or I'm out. And so when he ended up proposing to me when we weren't even dating, which was fun. It was the easiest yes I've ever said. And I'd say that some of the things that I loved him and I liked him. I actually just liked being around him. I was drawn to him. I trusted him. I liked the way he interacted with people, how he served people. He was a worshiper of the Lord. He challenged me to grow with God. He was a hard worker. That was attractive. He was financially responsible. All these things gave me peace. Like, it wasn't like this lightning bolt from the sky. It was just like, I have peace. I want to be with him. Yes, I trust him. So that's that answer.
Yeah, that's good. You yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Okay, let's see. What's the next question here? How have you learned to honor your husband in marriage? And what would be your advice to people who are kind of close to maybe engagement and marriage in relation to honoring their husband or their future husband?
Yeah. Man, I feel like this is just, it's so different depending on the relationship. Sure. I'd say for me early on in marriage, this was, I needed to know what Robbie needed from me. And sometimes it's so different from how you saw spouses interact, like in my home growing up. It's so different. And so like early on, like Robbie is a words of affirmation person. Like that is, he needs that from people, and he was used to getting that from his mom. She's fiery, she's passionate, she's competitive, she hollers at games, full of life. I adore my mother-in-law. She would tell her kids they were the best at everything they did, even if they weren't. That was just, she was their biggest cheerleader. Well, I grew up in a home where that was completely different. Like, in my home, there was a huge value for like humility and a fear of pride. Like that was probably the biggest value was humility, not sticking out. Like, and my parents loved me dearly, but those words of affirmation were just not nearly as prevalent.
They just want to make you proud.
Yeah, that was just like a part of how I was raised. So when Robbie would work so hard on something in our young, when we were newly married, he would be spending hours preparing, you know, a Bible study or leading worship or something. And he would want to process that with me when he'd get home. He's like, how did I do? Like, what could have I done better? I would freeze up. I was so uncomfortable with this. I was like, why does he need this from me? Like, I don't want him to get puffed up. I don't want him to be proud. And so even if I thought he did an excellent job, it was like, I could not voice those things to him. So I think that I have learned through time that this is actually not a bad thing to speak life and vision and truth into someone's life. I try to say things that are true and not just
flattery.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So that was one thing. Another thing that was hard for me was comparison when I was newly married. And I don't know if this feels like an honoring question. Like I would hear stories from all my newly married friends about special things their husbands did. And I would like hold my husband to this standard.
Yeah.
Like the very best of every part of their life. Like I'd want him to be as wise as this husband and as generous as this one and as thoughtful as this one. And I was holding him to this impossible standard of perfection.
Yeah.
And it was really hard on him. And I think God helped me to see how unfair this was, that Robbie did not hold me to that. My goodness. Mm-hmm. And I was able to let go of some of those expectations. As far as advice goes, I think when we get frustrated with each other, we remember in our first year of marriage, something that somebody told us was like, you are not, like your spouse is not your enemy. Like Robbie, and I would look at him and say, you are not my enemy. We are on the same team. Mm-hmm. Like we do have a real enemy who wants to destroy us, but we are for each other. So that was helpful. I try to put my heart in a posture of trust and support and teamwork. I work to not speak negatively about Robbie in front of other people. Mm-hmm. Like if there's something that's really troubling me in our marriage, I can share that with trusted friends and ask for prayer. But I just try to honor him with my words.
Yeah.
And I just think the best way for me to honor Robbie is for me to be complete, anchored, grounded, centered on in Christ, because then I'm not constantly begging him to complete me and meet every need I have. He's a great companion. He's a great partner. He's a really horrible God.
That's good. That's a really good. And I think a lot of, in my experience with friends, I'm not married, but a lot of watching friends who are married, it's easy to slip over into, I need my husband to meet these needs for me.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And so that's a place that I think every marriage has to eventually come to sooner or later.
Yeah.
My husband is not God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I must get my needs met from God alone. Stacey, do you want to chime in here?
Sure. I mean, I think I operated on kind of the spectrum of really struggling with this when I first was married, and even now it's still a struggle for me. We grew up in very different homes, similarly with Gail's story. I grew up in a home with a single mom who worked multiple jobs, worked very hard every day, 7 days a week. She still worked 7 days a week. Very independent. And I learned to do everything on my own. I didn't need help. I didn't like asking for help. I didn't like relying on people. So going into marriage, I had done everything myself my whole life. And suddenly I have this other person in my life that is a partner to me. Like they are after the same things as me. They have the same goals as me. And I really struggled with seeing that as a good thing initially. Like I automatically assumed that I was going to have to do all the work and I was going to have to be independent and make sure everything was taken care of and it all falls on my shoulders. And because I assumed that, I would get so easily frustrated and irritated with him, with Jake, when things weren't done or when they weren't done to my expectations or the way that I thought they should be done, which led to a lot of bitterness and frustration. And yeah. The first year of our marriage, we wouldn't have like even a week without a fight.
Yeah.
yeah. And so just not honoring and getting so irritated and frustrated. I think for me, I had to process a lot with people who I trusted, like women on staff, close friends of how, but not in a way of like gossiping about Jake or venting about him. These were people that listened to me, but then they turned around and they were like, okay, well, what can you do about it? Like, where can you meet God in this? Where is God in this? Mm-hmm. It was never like, oh yeah, man, that's really horrible that Jake didn't take the trash out on time or whatever it might have been that week that was making me frustrated. It was like pointing me towards Christ and pointing me towards my marriage.
Yeah.
And that was like the healthiest thing for me of having people that were on team my marriage and for my marriage and not just for me.
Right.
Which was really hard for me at some points when I'm like, can you just affirm that I'm so frustrated? And instead they were like, okay, yeah, but where's Jesus? Where's grace? Where's team? Where's the team mentality of being with your husband?
And right.
So hard for me, but so good. And this is still a battle I'm fighting today. Like just this morning, I had a moment of frustration with Jake and my response is so fleshly sometimes of just like so bitter and anger and frustrated. And yeah, I think in honoring him now, what that looks like is being able to identify those things and ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
Like building a culture in our home where on a daily basis, almost not in even a surface level way, like we are asking for forgiveness.
Right.
For things that were like, okay, yesterday Jake asked me for forgiveness for a response that he had to something that I did that wasn't okay. And I was like, dang it. He's like beating me to the punch at this point, you know,
right.
Like I haven't even asked for forgiveness and you were responding to me. And so, yeah, I think like, honor has looked like just owning my part in it, but also recognizing that what Gail said, like they're not going to be perfect. They're horrible gods. Like husbands right. are not good gods.
Yeah.
Right.
God is a good God.
Yeah.
And like just keeping that perspective has been really healthy for me.
So good. Thanks both of you for answering so honestly. Yeah. So good. Gail, I'm going to try to combine a couple of questions here that came in. I think it's sort of around the topic that you shared on panel night about struggling with control and anger issues, especially when you're young, married, young parent. What does it look like to bring anger to God, to soften your heart so that you got to that place ultimately of being able to surrender these things, anger, control? How do you kind of change your thinking on those things? Can you respond to that?
Yeah, this is something that I have had to work on in my own life, but also as a mom with my kids, just seeing like periods of or seasons of time when their hearts were really hard. And I mean, it's just, I think, okay, one thing is we have to acknowledge to God that we have a hard heart. Like we have to ask him for help. Like, I don't know how to let go. I don't know how to surrender these things. I need your help. Like we cry out to him and knowing like God is the one who softens hearts. Like we don't soften our own heart. In Ezekiel 36, it says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. That was a prayer that I prayed. I pray for myself. I've prayed it for my kids. Like, oh God, there is a stone, like hard heart in me right now. And that's not who I want to be. And it's scary. Like, or for my kids, like, soften this heart. And he does that. He's in the business of making things new, but we do have to participate with him in what he's doing in our hearts. If we refuse to follow his prompting, if he brings conviction, if he's working in a believer and we refuse to follow him, our hearts will continue to grow harder.
Yeah.
So a passage that I think of that has helped me, just this softening, to me, that's similar to repentance.
Right.
And in Isaiah 30, it says, this is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. Mm-hmm. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. This is a few verses later. He will rise up to show you compassion. And so just that battle of our hearts, like we don't want, like, we're scared of the quietness and the repentance and the trust, but that's what we need so badly. And that's what he longs to give us. So I think, those are some things that have helped me.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
That's good. Mm. That's good.
And then, did you ask another question with that or was that it?
I think that might've covered it.
Okay.
Mostly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. I'm going to ask you one more question. What did you do with your kids to let them know how important Jesus was to you?
Yes.
Can you give us a story or two from when the kids were small, especially?
Yes, and I just thought of something I wanted to share from that last one. Can I just share one more thing that has been helpful?
Sure.
Like when I feel out of control, angry, like I feel like my anger has, there's been a lot of work that God has done in me, but there were years that were really hard. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to be in control of the whole world. And I thought that I really knew the best. And one thing that was helpful for me to soften my heart, I would remind myself of God's goodness, that I can trust him, that his way is better than mine. The truth is, I actually do not have any control of anything. I mean, I can't even take a breath without God allowing it. Like, there's nothing I can really do to control the world. So I would look at like Job. The end of Job has just, it's been so good when God finally speaks into all of the suffering, all the hard things going on. And it's just like this perspective shift for me. It draws my heart to worship and to surrender.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about, I think that I asked a question about rewiring our brains.
Right. That was
like, I don't understand all that. Sauce understands that better, but I just try to practice remembering I'm not all that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not the center of the universe. There's a holy and just God who deserves my worship, my love, my respect. The more I surrender to him, the more that it's actually better for me. My life is better. And then I'm more inclined to do it the next time. So yeah, as far as anger, as far as kids knowing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's go to that last question.
Okay, last question.
With helping your kids know that you love Jesus, he's important.
Yes. To you. This is my favorite one to answer because I feel like this is just, it's just so fun.
Yeah.
In Deuteronomy 6, it talks about like loving, is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all of your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands, bind them on your foreheads, write them on the door frames of your house and your gates. And I just think Jesus is at the very center of my life. Like every part of me is different because of him. So when I was raising my kids, it was natural for me to invite them into that relationship with him. I mean, I did not do it perfectly, but I did. I mean, consistently, he was like, they were invited into that. So we would we would sing song. The kids, Robbie and I would sing a lot of songs to the kids, like about Jesus. When they were like the first day in the hospital, I remember sharing the gospel with my babies. I'm like, you are so loved. So sweet. Like it was like the first thing we told them. Like you're so loved by God. And he delights in you and he wants you to know him and have a relationship. And we pray that, like, so that was just like from the beginning. We would do that. We would pray for them. We memorized scripture together. We talked about the Lord at dinner. We prayed for our friends together. I remember driving to play dates when the kids were little and they'd struggle with fighting and, you know, sharing toys. And we would pray for their friends and their parents on the way to the play date every single time. I'm like, let's invite Jesus into this part. And we'd read the Bible together. Like, it's just kind of a normal part of our lives.
Yeah. And I think, can I comment?
Yes.
Like, I just feel like in my home growing up, like we went to church faithfully, but my parents never talked about God at home.
Right.
Like I never heard my parents talk about God at home.
Yeah.
We went to church faithfully every Sunday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we never, and even prayer at home, like, you know, we never prayed before meals.
Right.
Until way later in life. And I'm the one who started that. Hey, could we offer thanks before we eat? You know, that was something I brought to the family, and it took a lot of courage to do that, you know. But growing up, it was, if my grandparents were there and it was a holiday, well, you know, Grandpa, would you like to offer thanks before Thanksgiving dinner? And so,
yeah,
I just think how sweet it is when I've watched my friends, like you guys, you just talk about Jesus in your home all the time.
Yeah.
Otherwise, your kids get this disconnect, like, there's church over here, and then here's my real life over here.
Yeah, we tried to not make it just about Sundays, for sure.
It's a relationship.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Gail. Thanks,
yes.
Stacy.
Yes.
We'll close this podcast out. I think that was really good. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you. So-